everybody. Cal Banyan here. Cal Banyan's Hypnosis, Etc. Once again with L. Ron Ferguson. Now, let me tell you what. If you're watching this video anywhere else, I don't care if it's YouTube or whatever, you want to make sure that you go to calbanyan.com to watch the rest of the video. You know why? Because right below this video, right down there, there's more text, probably some more graphics, supporting links, things like that you want to go there for. All right, let me tell you. I think this is number four in this series with L. Ron. It's good to have him back after he got bumped back by the president of the NGH and the son of Larry Elman. And now he's back, and I'm glad to have him back. Someone I respect in the profession, a young man, up-and-comer, new author of the National Guild of Hypnotists Journal of Hypnotism, running a column with me. And if I knew someone in Orange County who really needed some hypnosis services, he would be my number one go-to person, a one percenter. How you doing, L. Ron?
I'm doing good, Cal. I'm doing great. Thanks for your confidence. And Yeah, that must be one of the reasons why I've been so busy.
That's right. You're the new John Weir, right?
Yeah, I'm the John Weir on the West Coast. Or wait, like, I'm the John Weir on the West Coast. Sometimes I do my John Weir voice around the office.
Why do you do that?
Because I love that guy. He's like my idol on the East Coast, and it helps that he's like almost a foot taller than me. Like, wow.
So you can really look up to him.
John, exactly. Like, oh, wow, John Weir. He's actually a year younger than me, too. But that's a good thing. Anyway, like I said, thanks for making me so busy, Cal, and teaching me everything I know that works. For those of you that don't know who Cal is, Cal is an evolutionary in the field, synthesizing five path, coming up with seventh path self-hypnosis, a provocative self-hypnosis technique. He's probably one of the greatest masters living of age regression, and some of the techniques that he's been able to evolve, I think, are the most thorough that exist in the business of direct suggestion hypnosis in the world today. So it's really great honor to be on the show.
Oh, I thank you very much, L. Ron. Ah, gosh. You know, I was just looking at the website. Let's see if I can get this straight. You guys that are on calbanyan.com, you want to go over to the left-hand column because we got, like, our greatest hits over there. Let me see. It says shortcuts to popular hypnosis training videos. You know, we have over 200 videos on that site that you can watch anytime. 10 keys to successful search engine optimization. Gosh, with some simple things you could do to make your hypnosis website climb up the charts of like Google and things like that. 10 keys to starting your own hypnosis practice on a budget. Did that with Celeste Hackett is excellent because a lot of people who are getting started, they don't have thousands and thousands of dollars to help them get their business up and going. 10 keys to client preparation for success. Awesome. The next one is 10 keys to doing direct suggestion hypnosis right. The next one is 10 keys. Kind of got a theme going there, don't I? 10 keys for doing successful age regression work. Next one is setting up your hypnosis practice and training center. And then two biggies, podcast number 100, our top 10 hypnosis training videos, the top 10 for the first 100. And then podcast number 200, the top 10 hypnosis training videos for the next 100. And then our classic Done with L. Ron, Hypnotizing Van Gogh, a pseudo case history. So hey, while you're over there, become a VIP member, get instant access to all of them. Go check out our greatest hits. And, you know, what are we talking about today, L. Ron?
We're talking about controversy. And we're going to pick up where we left off.
We're not afraid of controversy, are we?
No, not at all. Bring it on.
That's right. We have controversy for breakfast.
Bring it on.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right. You know, that's why I'm on the forensics team. Come on.
I just want to put it out there. I think a great reality show. After I went through all that about how you shouldn't do public demonstrations of hypnotherapy, a great reality show would be where you took people through five path and then just broadcast it around the world where we can really begin to understand what makes people tick with the age regression work we do and the forgiveness work we do and then undoing secondary gain with parts mediation work and so on. I think that would be crazy.
I think that would be great. And I was talking to a lot of people about that 2 years ago, actually. I've been thinking about that for a long time. Like, wouldn't it be great to get a whole family and work on the whole family? Like, you want to choose your family correctly, right? And you agree to do, like, 12 sessions with each person in that family. And they got to have, like, you know, a specific set of problems that relate to each other, like different addictions, different internal feelings or issues, you know, family history, so you can work with the entire family. Wouldn't you think that would be interesting as a reality TV show?
Yeah, especially if we can get them doing Seven Path, too.
Yeah, and just, like, watch the transformation of the whole family, you know? That'd be great.
And then, of course, we'd record the worst parts of it, squish it down to hourly-long episodes or 30-minute episodes, and sell lots of Coke and potato chips and whoever will run ads on our show.
Gee, I wonder who would be the hypnotist in a show like that. Who would?
John Weir.
Damn it, I knew it. That's okay. He's on the East Coast. The West Coast is mine.
They have TV on the East Coast. Come on.
Yeah. Hey, I got to Yeah, but it's got to be filmed in where? Hollywood. Come on. The West Coast is mine.
I think they should have dueling hypnotists.
I'm just kidding. No. It could be starring John Weir and L. Ron Ferguson.
That's right.
That'd with be a cameo producer. From Cal Bannion once in a while. How about that?
Yeah, I believe he's a five-pather.
Yeah. So I heard okay. it somewhere.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Come up with a real controversy.
Okay, the real controversy. We're having too much fun, Cal. This is what always happens on the fourth episode.
How much time we got left?
I don't know, like 5 minutes. No, we were just talking about should hypnotists who are obese see people for weight loss? Take it away.
Oh, this is where we left off at the last episode.
Yep.
Sure, why not?
What about if they're really, really, really obese?
Like
200 pounds obese.
Like have to break down the wall to get in the office obese?
Yeah, like they need a special chair to sit in.
Oh my gosh, I just saw a news article where once again someone had been so obese sitting in their chair for so long that they had to cut them out of the chair because the skin had fused. Gosh, you know, if I knew someone like that and I thought they were really motivated, you know, I would love to help them because that's just a waste of a life. But back to our topic. You know what? I think that as you were talking about in the last episode, and that is we need to be congruent with what we're doing. But, you know, there's obese and there's a little fluffy around the edges, you know, some little love handles and stuff like that. I don't think you need to be a bodybuilder or a figure model to be a good hypnotherapist. But I do think that you need to have you need to be fit. I think it's the best possible thing. The best possible situation would be to have been obese and then fixed yourself with hypnosis and hypnotherapy, self-hypnosis, and then be, I think that's one of the greatest credentials you could ever have, and then help others lose weight. For example, when I first got into this profession, I was almost 300 pounds, and it was through self-hypnosis and understanding the secret language of feelings that I just lost a bunch of weight and really became rather athletic. I mean, I do resistance training, and I also do these 100-mile bicycle rides. And I mean, before I came into work today, I did just a little bicycle ride of 20 miles. I usually do 30. But I mean, you need to be aspiring, but to have a good story, a truthful story, not just a storyteller's story of success. I think that's even better than being slim and trim and fit like you are, L. Ron, and helping someone. But certainly, your physical appearance is going to say volumes. If you're there and you're 50 pounds overweight or something like that, and you're going to try to help someone with weight loss, unless you've lost 100 pounds, that 50 pounds is certainly going to be subliminally suggesting that you don't know what the heck you're doing.
Yeah, I think it would definitely be difficult to convey, well, you know, let me tell you about the feel-bad-distract cycle and how you want to respond to your emotions with other things other than food if you're, if it's at that margin that's, like you said, not fluffy around the edges, but really obese, which is unfortunate. But, you know, if you're like 80 pounds overweight, it's going to have an effect. subliminally, like you.
That's right.
Like you spoke
and
there.
I think when people go out there representing the profession, they should be mindful that if they go out there and they're 80 pounds overweight or something like that, it just doesn't look good for the profession. It's just the hard truth.
Yeah.
Somebody had to say it.
Now, it doesn't mean that you can't work on other issues. Okay, it doesn't mean that you can't be the expert on anxiety or panic attacks or getting stuff done.
No, I disagree with that. I think that if it's just like if you go in, how would you feel about going and seeing someone about weight loss and they've got nicotine-stained fingers and tobacco breath?
I think that would be okay if I was in that situation.
I think that that undermines the credibility of the hypnotherapist.
Yeah, it would, but it's like you said, you know, you don't have to be perfect in order to help somebody else through the process. But subliminally speaking, it would. I mean, it's all on a scale. It depends on how bad those nicotine stains are and how much they smell.
Okay, really, really bad.
Okay, yeah, it's going to undermine the credibility of the hypnotist because we're talking about one too much behavior for another. They're still an addict, and so they're going to be talking to you about addiction, but they smoke.
If you're working on a too much behavior, you need to not be obviously succumbing to a too much behavior. And when I talk about the too much behaviors, that's eating too much, drinking too much, you know, whatever the too much behavior is, which, if according to the secret language of feelings, is the feel bad distract cycle that L. Ron was talking about. So, you know what? But you don't have to be a bodybuilder, a figure model, Jack LaLanne, may he rest in peace, you know, kind of fellow to do it. You need to have a good story. I think you could be overweight. I mean, when I got into the profession, I started figuring this stuff out. As soon as I had lost 15 pounds, and that was like 50 pounds ago, because I'm about 65 plus pounds lighter than when I started in the profession, you can say, hey, I'm on to something, you know, and they could say, you know, I can relate. Weight gain has always been a problem in my life, but I've learned some techniques. Already I've lost 15 pounds, and I'd like to share that ability with you. And, you know, acknowledge the fact that you're not within the normal range, but talk about your success you're having so far and then how you're going to help them in the same way that you've helped yourself. How's that sound?
Sounds excellent.
Good. Next topic.
Do we even have time for next topic, Kevin?
Yes. We still have about 10 minutes.
Really?
Yep.
Wow. Well, why don't we talk about touching clients?
Ooh, baby.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let me see. I have some notes
on that. Would you like to do hypnosis with me now?
No, we're talking. I was did some preparation here.
Okay.
Which is very rare for me. Controversial topics, touching clients. Should hypnotherapists, hypnotists, whatever you call yourself, touch clients? If so, where should you be able to touch? And is it different for men and women who are hypnotherapists as far as touching and stuff like that? Do you want to start that off or you want me to?
You do it.
All right.
I'll pipe in.
First of all, like I say in all of these controversial topics, podcasts, we are not lawyers. We're not medical people. We're just giving you our opinions. We have the right to change our mind when confronted by new information. We expect that some of you will have different ideas about this or would like to take our ideas further. Just leave a comment below and we will join in on the discussion. So, when I was studying talk therapy, touching clients was, except for maybe shaking their hand at the beginning or end of the appointment, was completely verboten, forbidden. And so it took me a while to kind of get over myself with that and find that there are some techniques. Now, I could be a successful hypnotherapist without ever touching a client, but touching a client in an appropriate way can be a very powerful tool or technique. For example, if you're doing the eight-word induction, they have to put their hand on top of their hand and do that, pull the hand out, give a startled response. And you certainly, that's much easier to do if you can actually touch them. And there's also times when we might want to touch them on the forehead, as I teach in class, or their shoulder, or their arm. And so here's the rules. And L. Ron can add, agree, or disagree with this as he pleases. And you can too. Before you start the hypnosis session, and on video, You want to ask the client, may I have permission to touch your hand, your arm, your shoulder, maybe even your forehead? And you should get a yes before you touch any of those places and before you do the hypnosis. You should get that on video because, warning, anytime you touch a client, you're taking a risk because people can say stuff was happening that hopefully wasn't happening. And so there's places that hypnotists, I think, legitimately can touch, and that is the hand. For example, you might be asking for a hand signal or picking up the hand and dropping it to check for relaxation or doing an induction. You may want to touch the arm or shoulder for certain techniques, and of course the forehead for causing them to, for eye lock, for rocking the head to check for relaxation, a number of different things. So I say that if you are trained in a technique that requires touching, and it is touching that if you wound up in court, 12 of your peers would say, that's reasonable touching, it makes sense under the circumstances, then you should go ahead and do it. And I think you should be okay. But again, you know, I'm not a lawyer. You need to know the laws where you work. If you're a psychologist, maybe you can't do touching. And just because you're a medical doctor doesn't give you the right to touch someone if you're doing a non-medical procedure. So you really need to know what you're doing, and you got to be careful. What do you think?
I agree with you, Cal.
Oh, that was easy.
But, no, just kidding. There's no buts there. Yeah, definitely. The phrase that you said once to me was, anytime you touch your client, you're putting your practice on the line.
That's right.
And you want to be careful with times that you choose to touch your client at all. You know, if your client is crying or whatever, it might not be appropriate to grab their hand. You know, there's a lot of hypnotherapists out there that just simply don't know what they're doing. They think that they can just touch their client as if they're having a conversation with a close friend when they're in the middle of process. They think that that's going to somehow help, or that they're going to calm them down, you know, or that they're rubbing their shoulder, it's going to put them at ease. And that's just really not the case. You know, there's a lot of people that are touchy-feely, and they love to hug everybody, they love to touch people, and it's easy to be in your own self-affirming loop with that and then think that everybody likes that sort of thing when they really don't. And
yeah, so, I don't think rubbing is ever appropriate in
ever,
hypnosis sessions.
Ever, ever, ever. Never, never, never. A touch or a press or a tap. And
right.
That's
right.
It. And of course, you got to be careful with your where you press, but that totally goes without saying. I mean, sometimes, you know, at some hypnosis training that I've gone to in the past, they throw around a phrase like, well, the tactile strengthens the verbal. And didn't really offer any other instructions with that. And they go, oh, well, you know, sometimes you want to touch your client when you give different suggestions because that's important because, you know, it's going to, the tactile strengthens the verbal, whatever that's supposed to mean. They just put these universals out there. And then if you don't have specific instructions, sometimes you don't really know what that means and start doing things inappropriately or, you know, touching the hand when you're not supposed to. And basically, what can start off as something where you might think where you might have permission to touch somebody, if the client starts to abreact in different ways or go into different issues, or if you're doing uncovering work that's embarrassing in one way, shape, or form, you want to use your own judgment. And even though you may think that this would be a time to touch a client during this process, you may have touched a client with this part of the process in the past, with this particular client, with this particular case of events, because of what they're going through and the emotions they're experiencing, now is not a good time to touch at all, even though you have permission. What are your thoughts on that, Cal?
I think we've pretty much covered it. I know they're kind of walking the edge of the NLP stuff and anchoring and that kind of thing, and I know NLP people do a lot of touching and anchoring, and there's nothing wrong with that. And I think one of the most important things that you were getting at is that when you do touch someone, you need to be aware of why you're doing it. It needs to be purposeful and defensible and and be aware of all the meanings that are likely to be experienced by the client when you touch them. How's that?
I agree.
All right.
Always a reason, never by accident or by routine. Oh, well, I always touch my client when I do this. No. Reason. Case by case.
Yeah, you remember when you were going through the internship program?
I blocked it all out, Cal.
Why did you do that? You know? But I think you really got that impression that you have to be mindful every time you touch your client.
Yeah, I was like, why? Why?
Yeah.
There's no such thing as routine when it comes to touching.
That's right. I've had students and they'll be touching in ways that are non-meaningful, just meaningless touching of their classmate that they're practicing hypnotizing and stuff. And I say, why are you doing all that touching? And they go, well, I'm just such a touchy-feely person. And I go, well, then touch yourself, okay? Because you don't have permission to do that. So with that, wrap it up.
All right. If you got 2 cents on this topic, send it in and we'd be glad to wrestle with it.
You don't need to send it in. Just leave a comment down below.
Yeah, leave a comment. Yeah, leave a comment down below. This is the sending. Somehow I got stuck on the sending it in stuff. Anyway, leave a comment down below. Let us know by some form of electronic communication in one way or another. If you want to know more about how to learn this process, take a look at hypnosis.org. We have a lot of different products there. If you want to learn 5-Path, if you want to be a great hypnotherapist and not just a good hypnotherapist, check out our stuff. I hope you got some value from this discussion, and it opens up your mind. I'm L. Ron Ferguson, signing off.
All right, thank you, L. Ron. And you guys go to 7thPathSelfHypnosis.com. Start learning 7-Path. We've got a free lesson there for you. And once again, I want to be a broken record. Vets, thank you for your service. Also, active duty people, we know you're going through a lot. Thank you for your service. We'll give you 20% off of any of our live programs. And why are we doing that? Well, to thank you. And also, I know some of you you've learned stuff in the military that just, you know, you're getting out of the military and there's just nothing you can do with those skills now. I mean, if like you're a cannon operator or a missile launcher, what are you going to do when you get back to the real world? Well, okay, check out Becoming a Hypnotherapist and we'll help you do that. This is Cal Banyan signing off. This recording is the property of Cal Banyan and Cal Banyan's Banyan Publishing Incorporated. All rights reserved for private use only, may not be duplicated without written permission.